Over the last many weeks together, we've been looking at the church, what the church is and why it's important, and what the church should do, how the church should function. We saw that the primary functions of the church are to worship together, to learn together, to fellowship together, to evangelize together, and to serve together. The last several weeks, we've been looking at what is a healthy church member, thinking through what it means to be an active, healthy part of the body of Christ. And so we've been thinking about what it means to be a healthy church member. And over the last few weeks, we've looked at several aspects of that, of answering that question. We saw that a healthy church member is a genuine believer in Christ, one who's been genuinely regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, whose life has been transformed by the grace of God and is showing the fruit of that in his or her life. But we saw that a healthy church member is a growing disciple, one who is seeking to grow in their own faith, learning from the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, and then also seeking to make a difference in other people's lives by helping to bring other people along, bring people to the faith, and then taking those who have come to the faith and building them up in the Lord, building them up in their faith. We also saw that a healthy church member is a worshiper of God, someone who values and prioritizes giving honor and glory and worship to the Lord, both privately and in their families, as well as corporately, together with the body of Christ. We saw that a healthy church member is one who strives for unity in the body, seeking to make the body of Christ a healthy unit by preserving the unity and love in that body. Last week, we saw that a healthy church member is one who takes the giftedness that they've received from the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and then seeks to use that in the body of Christ, to build up and edify the body. Today, what I want us to think about, and today we're going to be closing, bringing this series to an end. There's much more that we could say about the church, the nature of the church, and there are some important aspects that I'd like to address about the church at some point, again in the future, perhaps in another series. But I want to bring this particular series to a close today by thinking about what it means to be a healthy church member. And today I want us to think about the fact that a healthy church member is not a spectator, but an active team player. A healthy church member is not a spectator, but an active team player. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to use the analogy of sports, because most of us like that and are familiar with the analogy of sports. If you're not a sports fan, if you know nothing about sports, I'm just sorry. Because I know sports, I like sports, and I think probably most people in here, even if you're not an avid sports fan, you at least have some knowledge of sports and have followed it because you live in Alabama. How can you not know anything about sports and live in Alabama? So I'm gonna use a sports analogy today. I think one of the sad things about the church that has developed, really I think in our generation, or maybe the last generation or two, is more of a spectator mentality when it comes to the church instead of an active team member. And I don't know what has caused that. There's probably various reasons as to what has brought this about in church life. Maybe part of it is just the emphasis on entertainment in our culture as a whole that makes us watchers and spectators, just media in general. We're television watchers. We're internet surfers. We go to sports events and we watch. We're spectators. And so I don't know if it's just things that have come up in our culture in the last couple of generations that have contributed to this, but we are falling into the trap of being spectators instead of active team members, team players. And basically, a spectator in the church is someone who comes and sits. Right? That's what a spectator does. So you go to a sporting event and you pay for your ticket and you come and you sit and you watch. and you're there to be entertained. It's a consumer mindset. It's a consumer mentality. I paid my ticket, and now I'm coming here to get entertainment. I'm coming here to get enjoyment out of this event, and so entertain me. And so it's a desire to be served rather than to serve. You don't go to a sporting event thinking that you're going to serve. You go to a sporting event or to some other entertainment event, maybe a concert or a movie. You don't go there to serve. You go there to be served, right? You go there to consume. You go there to get. You go there to be entertained. And there's maybe a place for that. I think there's a good, healthy place for that. There are times for rest. There are times for relaxation. There's times when we can enjoy proper and healthy amusements. But the church is not an amusement. The church is not a spectator sport. The church is not where you go to consume and be served. The church is where you go to give and to contribute and to serve and to be an active team player. And so to continue the sports analogy, I want us, every one of us here at Eastside Baptist Church, to think of ourselves not as people sitting in the grandstands, spectating, but as people on the field, playing and working hard together as a team. And I don't even want you to think of me as the coach, because the coach doesn't play. The coach just sits on the sideline and tells everybody else what to do. I'm not the coach. I'm a team player, just like you. And so the Lord has called us to serve together, to work together, to be on the field together, on the court together. And what I want us to think about today is I want to give us some fundamentals of the game, if you will. Fundamentals of being a team player in the church. And so we've covered some of those in previous weeks. And what I want to do today is I want to give you several all at one time that I would consider just basics, things that we need to do if we're going to be healthy, active, on the field, playing, working together as the body of Christ. And if you think about that, every sport has fundamentals, right? Every sport has fundamentals that you have to do if you're going to be successful as a team. Just think about basketball for a moment. We're entering into basketball season. On a basketball court, those who are playing have assigned positions. And so you have guards, you have forwards, you have a center, you have a big man in the middle. And so they have different functions, they have different responsibilities on the court. And so there are different aspects that they're going to emphasize on, depending on which position you're playing on the basketball team. But there are certain fundamental things that every single basketball player has to do, right? Regardless of whether you're a guard or whether you're a big man in the middle, your job is to defend, right? Every basketball player is expected to rebound. Every basketball player is expected to try to contribute to the scoring whenever they have opportunity. Every basketball player is expected to either pass or dribble the ball in compliance with the rules. And so there are certain fundamental aspects of the game that regardless of what your role is, what your position is on the team, you need to do these aspects, these fundamentals. And so playing off of last week's message, we all have different gifts. We all have different roles. We serve different functions within the body. And so some of us might be guards, some of us might be forwards, some of us play different spots on the team, but we all are responsible for the fundamentals of the game, for the fundamentals of what it means to be a healthy, active part of the body of Christ. And so because what I'm going to be talking about today are the fundamentals, I'm not going to be telling you today anything new, anything that you haven't heard already, anything that you haven't heard from the Scriptures, haven't been taught before. But sometimes that's what we need to hear. Sometimes we need to hear what the fundamentals are and be reminded of what those things are and be challenged to do those things. Just like in a timeout or at halftime, the team is challenged to do the fundamental things that they know to do. And so, not as the coach, but maybe as another member of the team, I want to encourage us today to practice the fundamentals. So what are the fundamentals of being a healthy church member, in addition to the ones that we've already talked about in previous weeks? One is regular attendance. That's very fundamental, isn't it? That's very basic. Regular attendance. Just come and be a part of the body on a regular basis. Consider the examples that we have in the New Testament. Acts 2, verse 42. The early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. They came together. They met together as the body of Christ. They fellowshiped together, the breaking of bread and to prayer. Notice what it says a little bit later on in Acts 2, verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day. They didn't have the challenges of TV and internet and sporting events. They had life together as the body of Christ. They did life together. And they came and they met daily at the temple courts to hear teaching and to fellowship together. And on top of that, they also went to each other's homes. And they broke bread together and fellowship. And they ate together in people's homes with glad and sincere hearts. And so they regularly got together as the body of Christ. That's their example. Then we have the teaching of the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, where he says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching." And so let's not give up meeting together. Let's see how important it is to be a healthy, contributing member of the body by coming. By coming and meeting together. How good of a player would it be if that player never came to practice or never showed up for the games? Would you consider that player a part of the team? We wouldn't. So if we're a part of the team, then we need to come and participate. Early on in our series, when we asked the question, what is the church? I think it was the very first message that we did on this series. What is the church? The word church is the word assembly, the word congregation. And so the very idea of the church and what it is to come and assemble together. To be the assembly, to be the body meeting together. So let me just ask you, I'm just going to throw out some questions to you and you examine your own hearts, your own life. What is it that keeps you away from regular attendance with the body of Christ? Now, are there legitimate reasons to miss meeting together? Absolutely. I'm not trying to communicate any kind of, you know, absolute legalistic, you got to be here every day or you're not a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. And so there are legitimate reasons. You might be sick. You might be traveling. You might be away for your job. You might have a family event that you're away for. You might be on vacation. These are legitimate reasons to not be with the assembly of believers. But what other reasons will keep you away that maybe are not as legitimate? That maybe where when we really analyze and really think about it, maybe we've got our priorities out of line. And we're doing things that are less important instead of meeting with the body of Christ. And so I want to encourage us to be regular attenders. Another fundamental of being an active member of the team is active service. Active service. And this goes into not just being a spectator, not just expecting to be served, but to look for opportunities where I can get involved. To look for opportunities where I can give effort, where I can be a part of the team. Ephesians 4, verse 15 says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." And so it's interesting how time after time, in several different letters, Corinthians, Romans, here in Ephesians, even Peter uses this analogy in 1 Peter, several different places in the New Testament, we have the analogy of the body. We have the analogy of the church being like a human body in which the different parts function for the whole. And they each have different roles to play. They each have different spots in the body, but they all work, they all contribute, they all give to the overall health of the body. And so, how can you just think about what your contribution is to the body of Christ? And when I say contribution, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about the contribution of your life, the contribution of your time, the contribution of your service. What is my contribution to the body of Christ other than coming and sitting? And just answer that for yourself. And look for opportunities to get involved in the church and other people's lives. And here's the thing. When I'm talking about active service, I'm not even just talking about things that are on the church calendar. Or that are events or announcements that are coming up. I'm not just talking about, oh, there's a potluck coming and so I'm going to bring food or I'm going to help set up tables. That's not just what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things that are not even announced, things that are not planned events, things that, and I'm going to get to this a little bit later on this morning as well, but things where we can just be a part of the body and looking out for the needs of the body and doing things for others that are not even announced or made known. Things that we just observe as our eyes are open to the opportunities that are around us. And so be active in service. 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And so take the giftedness that you've received and serve others. Active service. Number 3 is cheerful sacrificial giving. And here I am talking about resources. And there is a place for not only giving of your time in service and giving of your talents and your gifts in service, but also of giving of the resources with which you have been blessed. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Sometimes we don't give because we think, if I give this, I'm not sure if I will have enough tomorrow. But I want you to consider the examples that are given to us in the New Testament of giving cheerfully and sacrificially. Think about the woman that Jesus upholds who gave the 2 coins at the temple. She gave everything that she had that day. Most people in that society live day to day. They live day to day, not even week to week, day to day. And so that woman had 2 coins, and she said, this is what I have today. I'm going to give all that I have today, and I'm going to depend on God for tomorrow. She trusted in the Lord's Prayer that says, Lord, give us our daily bread. She believed that, and she prayed that, I have no doubt. And so she trusted in the Lord to provide for her needs. Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, says, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And in the context of Philippians 4, he's talking about the Philippian believers giving to Him sacrificially to support His mission, to support His work. And he says to them, as you have given to me sacrificially to support the advance of the gospel, God is going to supply your needs. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then these other things will be added to you. Things like food and shelter and clothing, the basic necessities of life. God's going to provide for your basic necessities if you're honoring Him with the first fruits of your increase. And so just one question of application is, Are you giving to the Lord's work sacrificially and cheerfully of your resources that God has blessed you with? Cheerful, sacrificial giving. Joyful submission to leadership. Joyful submission to leadership. Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work may be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. If you think about it, one of the marks of a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the marks of a God follower in the whole Bible is how they relate to those in authority over them. It's almost a universal principle across the Bible. Is one way to see whether or not someone is being loyal to God is whether they're loyal to their human authorities over them. And so you have those that are condemned in the Pentateuch for rebelling against Moses' leadership. You have throughout the New Testament epistles, Paul telling us to submit to our civilian authorities, kings and rulers and governors. You have Paul telling slaves to submit themselves to their masters. In the home life, you have Paul saying husbands should lead and wives should be submissive to the leadership of their husbands. And so all throughout the Bible, we have places where God has installed people in positions of leadership. And one of the marks of following God is that we're submissive to that human leadership that He has appointed. And the same is true in the church. And so I would encourage you to follow the leadership that God has appointed over you in the church joyfully. Joyfully and with a good attitude and a good heart. And I'm not just talking about myself here. I'm talking about other leadership in the church as well. I'm talking about your deacons who serve you. I'm talking about your Sunday school teacher who gives up time to teach you. I'm talking about people like Clint who lead us in worship. I'm talking about other people who are been given leadership roles within the church, and to pray for them and to submit to them humbly and joyfully for the health of the body of Christ. And so joyful submission to leadership. Number five, building healthy relationships in the church. Building healthy relationships in the church. John 13, Jesus says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And earlier we saw from Acts 2:46 that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts and in people's homes. They broke bread together with glad and sincere hearts. In other words, the picture of the New Testament church are the members sharing life together. The members sharing life together. One of the burdens that I have for us here at Eastside Baptist Church is that we would grow in our relationships with one another so that we're relating to one another, not just when we come together and sit in the pews on Sunday morning, but that we also relate to one another outside of these walls. And we're talking on the phone, we're texting, we're emailing, we're getting together in people's homes, and we're fellowshipping together. Throughout the New Testament, you have this emphasis on one another relationships. Encouraging one another, building one another up, confessing our sins even to one another, holding one another accountable, provoking one another to good works, fellowshipping with one another, eating with one another. There's showing hospitality to one another. So many of these commands that are given in the New Testament that teach us that the body of Christ is supposed to be a connected body that is sharing life together, building relationships with each other. And one of the best ways that you can do that, and here you're going to have to take some initiative and not wait on somebody else to do it. Take some initiative to invite somebody over to your home or invite somebody out to eat after church one Sunday. Show hospitality either in your home or have a meal together at a restaurant. Call each other during the week to see how each other's doing. get together for a cup of coffee and read a chapter of the Bible together, and pray together. There's so many things that we could be doing as the body of Christ. And I'm convinced, I'm 100% convinced, that if we would do more of this life-on-life ministry within the body of Christ, that our church as a whole would become healthier and stronger, and that we also would reach more people outside the walls of our church. And so we need more life-on-life ministry, both within the people of our church, but we also need life-on-life ministry with unbelievers, with your neighbors, with your co-workers, and using those opportunities to share the gospel with them. And so we need to be building healthy relationships in the church. And that may not come easy to you. That may not be your strength. And here I want to make a comment about something I was saying last week, about we're all gifted in different ways. We're, you know, some of us are more gifted naturally to show mercy and hospitality. But there are certain things that are fundamental that we can't excuse ourselves of, even if that's not necessarily our forte. And so even if being a good host or showing hospitality isn't your strength, it's still a New Testament command to show hospitality and graciousness to one another and to build relationships of love with one another. And so do this, even if you don't have a lot in common with other people in the body of Christ. Even look for somebody who's not even in your age segment. Look for somebody who's not necessarily in your same economic stratus. Look for people that maybe share different likes and dislikes than you, because there's something that we all have in common if we're in the body of Christ. We have the gospel in common. We have the Lord Jesus Christ in common. We have God, our Father, in common. We're in the same family because we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so we may have different interests, different things that excite us, but there's one thing that should excite us together, and that is the gospel. And so build relationships with one another and take the initiative to do that. The last thing that I want to say this morning is that we should be praying. Praying as the church. Praying for the church. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, "Brothers and sisters, pray for us." And so there are several aspects of church prayer that I just want to emphasize. One is, Paul says to his brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the church in Thessalonica, he says, "Pray for me. Pray for us." Who's that? Paul is the one out there doing gospel ministry, going from town to town, telling people the word of Christ in new, unreached areas where the gospel has never been. And he says, "Please pray for us as we do that work." Lift us up in prayer. He says something similar in 2 Thessalonians, or in Colossians, I'm sorry, Colossians 4. He says, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." And so Paul encourages believers to pray for him and for his co-workers as they share the gospel. And so I'm going to invite you, as the body of Christ, to pray for our missionaries. Pray for our missionaries. Even the ones that you don't know by name, even the ones that you've never met before, pray as specifically as you can. If the Lord brings a specific missionary to your mind, pray for that missionary specifically. But also just pray generally for the missionaries that we support in the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board. Pray that they will be effective in their service, and that, as Paul says here, so they'll be bold in proclaiming the message, so that doors will be open to them to share the gospel of Christ. Pray for them. Pray for me as your pastor, as I seek to shepherd and to teach and to lead. Pray for us. But notice also there's the other side of the coin too, in that Paul prays for them. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 11, he says, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of His calling, and that by His power He may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. And so Paul requests prayer from them. He also says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you to grow and for you to come to maturity in the body of Christ. And please know that I'm praying for you. Praying for you to grow in your faith. Praying for the Lord to bless you as you seek to follow Him. There's also an aspect of just praying for each other. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. In that particular context, James is talking about a person who is sick, and he encourages mutual confession as well as mutual prayer. But I think the principle goes beyond just that episode, just that specific instance, and that we should be praying for one another as the body of Christ. Think about the people around you. Think about the needs that we print out on a weekly basis on Wednesday night in our prayer meetings. Pray for the needs that people have. But I also want us to think about not just praying for their physical needs, but praying for the kind of prayer that we just saw in 2 Thessalonians, and where Paul was saying, I'm praying that God will help you to grow in your faith. I'm praying that God will make you worthy of His calling, so that God, through His power, may bring to fruition everything that you seek to do for His glory and His purposes. And so pray spiritual, soul prayers for your brothers and sisters in Christ as well. It's a simple encouragement that I wanted to give you today, and that is that we need to be active team players in the body of Christ, not spectators. And if you think about it, Christ is worthy of that, isn't He? If we believe the gospel that Jesus has done for us what we could not do for ourselves, the gospel that where Jesus lived a perfect life of righteousness that not a single one of us have ever lived, that Jesus took upon Himself our death, our guilt, our sin, our judgment, our condemnation, and He bore it for us. He went to the cross for us. He went to the grave for us. He shed His blood for us. And then He rose again the third day from the grave for us so that we might have eternal life. If we believe that gospel, then we will also believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of all that we can give. And that we will, as Paul says in Romans 12, offer up our lives as living sacrifices to God. And so while we are alive, while we have energy, while we have breath, consider yourselves owned by God, and that you are a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, to be given to Him in worship and praise. And so let's be active members, active players, serving one another, not just spectators.